I'd like to say good evening to everyone. Thank you for coming back out tonight to hear another portion of God's Word. And been encouraged about a lesson this morning that Brian preached about praising God. And we are to praise God, give Him all the praise, all the glory, because He so richly deserves it. And tonight, as I have a lesson tonight, I wanted to talk about something that a phrase is in the Bible. But it's more than a phrase. It's God's command. And I'm talking about, give me, thus says the Lord. And in this lesson right here, I've learned some things about the lesson, about thus says the Lord. Thus says the Lord, in Luke chapter 24, and about 45 through 46, it says, the expression, thus says the Lord, is used over 400 times in the Bible. Additionally, there are many similar expressions used, such as, it is written, or the word of the Lord came unto me, or I, the Lord, have spoken it. Calling attention to specific statements, messages, and lessons from God. It is as though the prophet or the spokesman is telling us, now hear this. This is very important. Now hear this. Okay, and to go on with this, now hear this. What I am going to say now is not merely my opinion or my own wisdom, but thus says the Lord, it is God speaking. These are His words. This is a wonderful expression and full of meaning for Bible students. Thus says the Lord is the end of all controversy with us. There is no controversy that with us. You know, some people have said, you know, if the Lord said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Well, no. If the Lord said it, it's already settled. Whether I believe it or whether you believe it or anybody else, it's already settled because it's in His word that this is the way that it's going to be. It seems very simple, doesn't it? All we have to do is to prove everything by the word of God. All we have to do is accept what is in the harmony of the word and reject that which is not. But it is not so simple as it seems. If it were, everyone would understand the truth. And there would be no false doctrines. But there are false doctrines. There are false teachings. Hundreds of them. And each one is claimed to rest on the word of God. But we know in the religious world today, we see many different doctrines being taught about what God wants from us. Yet we normally do not heed the book, the chapter, and the verse for such things. Today we are going to examine that God wants us to give proof of what we teach. This is not to be cruel to anybody, anything like that, but to simply show that God expects answers that are based upon His expectations and not man, someone that we know. Sometimes we ask the question, Lord, what would you have me to do? Well, we should ask ourselves, Lord, what did you tell me to do? And He tells us what to do in His word, and we just have to do it. First of all, He told us to be ready always to give an answer. He says, sanctify the Lord in your heart. In other words, set the Lord in your heart. and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Be ready to give an answer. If we don't know, we can always say, I will get you an answer. I will find someone who do know. I don't know everything that there is to know about the Bible, but I do know that there are other people that I would trust. So, okay, this person needs an answer to your question right here. And most of all, we want to sanctify the Lord in our hearts. In other words, our minds should be centered on the Lord and what he is about. We must realize that the whole Bible is inspired, and the author is by God. God is the author of the Bible through the whole of the Bible through the Holy Spirit. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 16 and 17, all scripture, not some, but all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for corrections, for instructions in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. Now, that word perfect right there, no, none of us is perfect, but we can be mature. We can mature in God's word. But all scriptures are inspired by the Lord. What inspires you? What part of the scripture inspires you from time to time? So, the word of God is forever. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 23 and 25 says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible. In other words, something that will perish. We don't want to be born of that corruptible seed, but something that's imperishable, like the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass. We have flesh, and our flesh is like the grass. Right now, most of us that has yards, you have leaves that's falling, the grass is turning brown again, and you have to get out and you have to do something. Well, it's time for those things to depart. It's time for those things to, it's over with for them. Man's flesh is also like that too. We're getting older. All of us that are getting older, we look at this right here and compare this to a certain point. All flesh is as grass, and all glory of man is the flowers of the grass. In other words, I once was young, but now I'm old. And that's basically how that is. The grass withereth, and the flowers thereof fadeth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. This is something that's going to go on forever. As long as we are in this life, God's word is going to go on. And his word, which is the gospel, is preached unto you. The good news is what we're talking about here. You know, Jesus had situation with Satan. In Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, he says, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, he was absolutely hungry. Now, the way that I look at it, and I may be wrong, but if you're talking about 40 days and 40 nights, you're talking about something like a month and about 10, maybe 12 days. I'm not sure. I don't know how they counted time back during that time. But can you imagine somewhere, I don't know of anyone who has been somewhere and fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. We're talking about food, we're talking about water, or whatever. And that's when you're at your weakest point right there. Okay, to go on with this. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be, if, there's that little word right there, create doubt in you. I've told a lot of new babes in Christ, when you come into the knowledge of the truth and you obey it, Satan is going to come at you if you be a Christian. Then you know that you shouldn't go out and do the things that you used to do, go to nightclubs, fight, all the things that you used to do. If thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. Now, if we're talking about 40 days and 40 nights here, and then Satan comes in and says, if you be the Son of God, command these stones to be turned to bread. But you know, Jesus had a strong personality. he would rather suffer the way he did, rather than to give in to what Satan wanted him to do. And verse 4 says, "But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Then the devil took him up into the holy city and set him upon the pinnacle of the temple." In other words, sitting up on top of this building or whatever. That's where he took him. "And he said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written." And where he's quoting from back in Psalms chapter 91, verses 11 and 12. "He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in thy hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone." In other words, they're gonna catch you. Verse 7 says, "Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. These are things that's written, and thus says the Lord. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them." In other words, if you want to go and if you want to be someone in charge in this land or in that land right there, you can do this. But what you have to do is you have to do this. "And he said unto him, All these things," the devil said unto him, "All these things I will give thee if thou fall down and worship me." That's all you have to do, is fall down and worship me. Make it sound so good. That's all you have to do. But thank God that his son didn't do that. "Then said Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, or get away behind me, Satan. For it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thou serve." In other words, Christ had already made up his mind about who he was going to serve. And that's what it is with us. We have to be made up our mind about who we're going to serve. I'm not going to serve that. You know, coming from the world and the world activities and being out for a long time in the world, when you obey the gospel and you see things in a different light now, you don't want to return back into what you came out of. Because even just being around it, that will have an influence on you. Evil communication corrupt good manners. "Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, the angels came and ministered unto him." Now, the word of Christ will judge us. What Christ has said. Now, would you want to know what words will be your judge? Do we want to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant"? Or do we want to hear, "Depart from me, I never knew you"? That's something right there that we would have to make a decision on. You make a decision every day of your life. Because see, once it's over with for you, you can't go back. But right now, we can ask ourselves, what words would I like to hear whenever I do see the Lord face to face? In John chapter 12, verses 46 through 48, he says, "I am come a light unto the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness." There are people that love darkness. But Christ said, "I'm a light." And we want to walk in the light as he is in the light. Verse 47 says, "If any man hear my words and believe not," in other words, the words that Jesus has spoken, but you don't believe it, "I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world." In other words, those individuals that are interested in what God or what Christ is saying, they're going to believe his word. They're going to come out of the darkness, and they're going to be in the light, just as Christ is in the light. Verse 48 says, "He that rejecteth me and receive not my words." You know, now when you reject something, that's saying that you've made up your mind. You don't have no ambition to follow through with that. "Has one that judged him. the words that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Now see, God is going to judge all situations. But if we can make it easy on ourselves, if we just follow through with what thus says the Lord. Why is it important to have a thus says the Lord? Why is that? Well, because there is only one God. Now, we know that there are three in the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But they're saying the same thing. Isaiah 45, verse 18 says, "For thus says the Lord that created the heavens, God himself, that formed the earth and made it. He has established it. He created it, not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else." You know, God is all God all by himself. He did all of this. Now, I know that Christ is the one that was there also, too. But the whole thing came from God the Father. And God will lead us the right way if we seek his word. First of all, we have to seek his word. Remember the story, a lot of stories there in the Old Testament about Moses and Joshua leading Israel to the promised land. All of the things that they went through in leading God's people, they would do right for a certain amount of time, and then they would go back. And I know it was very frustrating for those men leading Israel. I can relate to a part of that. Being in the military, and you are the sergeant, and you're in charge of men. You have different personalities. You have people saying different things. I think it should be this way. I think it should be that way. I'm not going to do this. That's no fun, because you got to get these people together here, and you got to get them to come into the knowledge of doing things together. We have to act, or we have to be a team with one another. When you have one that's over here doing something and another one that's over there doing something or whatever, first of all, we have a goal. We have a mission. I'm not going to get into any of the stories and things about just being around some people and you trying to talk with them about what we need to do in order to make this work. But I can understand that about when it talks about God will lead us the right way if we seek his word. And in Isaiah chapter 40, verses 16 through 17, "I have not spoken in secret." And this is what Isaiah is saying here. "From the beginning, the Lord God and his Spirit has sent me." In other words, Isaiah had something that he had to do, and he had to make it known. Verse 17 says, "Thus says the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teaches thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou should go." When you have a lot of people that seem like it doesn't go this way, you need to go that way or whatever, it's a lot of confusion. But they had to stick with what God had said. "Thus says the Lord, I want you to go in a certain direction," because God has already seen what's at the end of what he's trying to get you to do. And it's the same way in our life. We look at we study the Bible, we look at the Bible, and we say things about, "Well, I wonder why God want me to do this." Well, you probably could wonder about it, but in the end, it may be that maybe you're glad that you did follow what the Lord had told you to do. I know that there are a lot of situations that you talk with people, young people, and at one time I was one of those youngsters too, that somebody tried to tell me something. Well, I didn't want to listen to it, so I did it my way. later on, I could see what they were talking about. And if it was possible, if they hadn't passed on, I'd go back and I'd tell them, yeah, you were right. And that's all we have to do. And that's what we have to do with God, or Christ. Lord, I was wrong about my understanding about certain things. And the same way with people that's worshiping God. You know, they have their way of trying to worship God, and they don't want to accept the fact that, you know, we don't have a piano in here. We don't have no choirs or anything that's in here. Those things that a lot of denominations are doing, we don't have those things. And it's all for a certain reason. But we have to understand that. And if we don't understand it, what are we going to keep on making those same mistakes and doing the same thing over and over and over? Now, the word of God is quick and it's powerful, according to Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 to 13. For the word of God is quick and it's powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. In other words, see, it's going to cut both ways. When you read God's word, some kind of way, you're going to find out that that word is talking about me directly. There is something that I need to change in my life. So it's going to cut both ways, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner. And what a discerner is something related to judging, a fit of judging, a skill in judging. The thoughts of the thoughts and the intent of the heart. He knows what's on your heart to do. And we have to carry it out because he already know what the intents are. If you're saying that I'm going to do this because of this reason or whatever, he know that too. Verse 13 says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest. Manifest means clear or obvious to the eyes or mind. In other words, something that you that can be seen, and God can see this in you. He looks through us. He knows exactly what the insides of any, all of us look like. The intent of our heart. Do I love someone the way that I should? He knows that. And one day, we'll have to give an account for that. Did I love this brother? Did I love this sister the way that I should? And we all have those things that's in us a lot of time that we need to repent of, and we have that opportunity to do so. The word of God is pure. According to Proverbs chapter 30, verses 5 and 6, every word of God is pure. In other words, it's free from moral defilement. It's without spot. It's not tarnished. And it's a shield unto them who put their trust in him. That's what God's word is. It's all about. There is no thing that's in God's word that is going to hurt us. God's word is going to help us as we develop our spiritual life with God, or with the through the Holy Spirit every day. And he says, add not unto his word, lest he reprove you. In other words, reprimand you, and thou be found a liar. We need to understand we want God's word because it is pure, and we have to take it as face value. And what we're doing is we're putting our life up against what God's word is saying, and what I need to change in my life, what you need to change in your life, is what we need to do. Be more holy in God's eyesight, and not only in his eyesight when he's not, or we think that he's not around, whatever, he's always around. But we need to be cleansed of all of those impurities and things that are in our life also too. We should live by the word of God. You know, when you depart from the word of God or from the Bible, you're on your own. And there are a lot of people who feel like, well, I got it all together here. I don't really need no word or anything or nothing to tell me about what I need to do, because I already have it. And I can do what I want to do, the way that I want to do things. Luke chapter 4, verse 4, which we said something about earlier, the Lord, Jesus answered and said, answered him and said, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Psalms chapter 119 verse 11 says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. In other words, when God's word is in our heart, it's in our mind, we know when we're sinning, even our thoughts, because see, he knows the intent of our heart also too. And he knows that. And that impure thought that you have, or that desire that you have, right there on the spot, Lord, would you forgive me for that impure thought that I had? There are people that we sin, when we see the lust of a man for a woman, or a woman for a man, or etc., or I'd like to give somebody a piece of my mind, or about this, about that. He knows that. And these are things that we need to immediately ask God, because that's a private sin between you and God, but he knows who you are. And he knows what you think, too. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And most of us know something about lamps. You know, when you have a lamp, you know, and maybe put down or something, you can kind of walk down the road here. And you see, I know sometimes when you walk up to someone's house, they have these little lamp things that kind of goes up to the steps there, whatever, you know. And sometimes it's good because there might be something that you can trip over or whatever. And it's a light to my path. In other words, it's going to take me straight on up to someone's door or whatever. And that's what God's word does. This right here, God's word takes us somewhere. We all want to go where Christ is. We want to be where he is. Well, it's through his word also. The word of God is a seed. Now, a lot of us know something about seeds. If you plant apples, if you plant oranges, tomatoes, or cotton, or any other seed, what's going to come up? That what you have planted is what's going to come up. Now, I do realize that in some areas there are some things cannot grow. I understand that. But basically, for the things that we're talking about here, it's going to come up, whatever it is that you plant. You can't plant corn, an apple come up, because that's not that seed. And that's what the word of God is about. Now, also along the same line, if Christians plant the seed of God, of God's word, it's going to produce more Christians. It's a simple, well, it's like that. When you plant God's word in someone who is seeking the way of salvation, and they have to be truly seeking the way of salvation. And if you talk with someone, eventually they will obey the gospel. Luke 8, verse 11 says, now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Matthew 24, verse 35 is telling us, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. See, God's word is not going to pass away. It's going to do what it says it's going to do. It's not going to come back void. When you put the seed out there, God's word out there, it's not going to come back to him void. Something is going to happen. It may be someone that you may have a class with. And I've been in some classes like that. Had Bible class with someone. And afterwards, there was this person, a friend, they was in a class with us. We baptized a man in a hospital one day, a long time ago. And we was having a class with the man, and the friends of the lady came, and she was listening. They were listening. And after the class, they came up and they said that, you were talking about the plan of salvation, and we want to know more about that. And we pulled them to the side, and we did have some classes, and we did baptize them. Now, where they are now, I don't know because I'm not there. But the thing with it is, see, God's word is a seed, and you plant that seed, someone may be listening, and someone may come forward. Those that hear and abide by the word of God are his family. And this family here is the church. It's the church that you can read about in the New Testament. this is part of God's family right here. There are other members somewhere else that's part of God's family also too. Luke 8, chapter 20, verse 21 says, "And he answered and said unto them, My mother and my brother are those which hear the word of God and do it." You have to do what you heard when you hear God's word. Hearers and keepers of his word are blessed. It is a blessing when someone hears something and they keep it. Luke 11, verse 28 says, But he said, "Yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Thus says the Lord," is the most fitting word of rebuke for an erring saint. God's people should be rebuked in the most humblest and gentlest manner. In other words, what our purpose is not to win the argument, but to win the soul back to Christ. There are people who get angry about some things that you say, but we don't want to get angry about that. We want to win that soul back, you know, and so we have to look at how we're to go about to doing that. The word develops faith. Romans 10:17 says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Now, saving faith comes from what is heard and obedience to it. We're talking about faith, but you have to be obedient to that faith also, obedience to it. Isaiah said in verse 16, "The Lord who has believed our report." Okay, there were a lot of people that Isaiah was talking to, but they didn't believe that. And when you go back into the Old Testament, you see where a lot of people in that period of time right there, you could talk with them, the prophets and the priests and whoever else was talking to them, but they didn't believe what he was saying or what they were saying. And that's why he's saying right here, "Lord, who has believed our report." There are a lot of people that you talk with may not even believe what you're saying, you know, so. Thus says the Lord, says come. It says come. In John 7, verse 37 and 38, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." Verse 38 says, "He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of the belly shall flow rivers of living water." In other words, the indwelling spirit. At this time right here, the indwelling spirit had come upon the apostles at that time. And then in Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 8, "Seek and ye shall find." We were talking earlier this morning, I think in the class, about ask, knock. Ask, seek, and knock, rather. And that's what we have to do. But we want to do this with understanding here. "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks, receive, and he that seeks, find it. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened." In other words, if we're doing this with understanding of what we need to do in order to be saved. What shall I seek, though? Seek the kingdom of God first. Luke chapter 12, verse 31. "But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you." In other words, what you're doing here is you're paying attention to what you hear, what you see, what is done. See what the word is saying. You're putting that up against what God's word is saying. And if you go to another, if it's a denomination or whatever, you sit back, you listen, and you see what's going on. And if you know, you have to know what God's word is saying also too, because see, that's how a lot of people have gotten caught up in a lot of these different denominations, because they don't really know a whole lot about the Bible. They're going on what somebody's telling them. But listen, we can show book, chapter, and verse for what they're doing. Well, then this is why we need to read God's word. Seek and save your life by giving it to God. Luke chapter 17, verse 33, "Whosoever shall seek and save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it." In other words, we are to give wholeheartedly the devotion to God. Where shall I look, brother? You look for "Thus says the Lord." Remember the Ethiopian eunuch? Remember the story in Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 39, how he was seeking and remember the results of that. Also, hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized, which is a part of the plan of salvation. We already know that the Word of God brings faith. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. This is done by hearing the Word of God. We have to hear something, and we have to believe it. The Lord says, believe in me. John chapter 8, verse 24. I say therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sin. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sin. In other words, do we believe Christ is God's son? And that's a question that a lot of people don't believe. They don't believe that Jesus Christ is God's son. They said Jesus Christ is a good man. And that's it. But he wasn't the son of God. He was just a good man. But we have to know that. And we have to go to the scriptures to prove that also too to some people. The Lord says, repent of your sins. In other words, everybody has sin or had sin whenever you are trying to, when you grow up, when you get past a certain age, yes, sin is what covers our, that's in our life. You know, so we have to be forgiven for that sin. And once we're forgiven for that sin through the rock and grave of baptism, which I'll say in a few minutes, then those sins that we have committed are taken away. Now we do sin, but we have an advocate, someone that's far, so we can be forgiven for those sins. In Acts chapter 17, verse 36, and also Luke 13, 3 and 5. And the time of this ignorance, God winked at, but now command all men everywhere to repent. In other words, all we're doing here is turning from sin. We're turning and going the opposite direction. A change of heart, a change of direction is what we're doing here when we repent of something also. The Lord says, confess me. Now, there is a confession. Now, for someone who is not a Christian and has not been immersed in the watery grave of baptism, we're not confessing your sins at that point. At that point, you're not confessing your sins. You're confessing that Jesus Christ is God's Son. Now, once we become a member and we do sin, then we do confess our sin and be to be forgiven for it. In Acts chapter 10, verse 32 and 33, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. And now, thus says the Lord, be baptized. And this baptism is for the remission of sin. In Acts 2, verse 38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord of Jesus Christ, for the remission of his sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that's why we should say, give me a thus says the Lord. I hope that something has been said tonight that would encourage our hearts to continue to grow, to learn, continue to do what God would have us to do. And all of us that know that God's word is there, is powerful, is sharp, we just pray that you would continue to do what the Lord would have you to do. I know I've said some things tonight, perhaps maybe someone may not understand. And if you do, if you don't, then you let me know. We'll definitely have a conversation about it. But that is the plan of salvation. And all of us who need to respond at this time, you have an opportunity to do so as we get all together stand and sing the song of invitation.